The problem with a lot of cold calls is that they sound exactly the same. You have the ones that begin something like, "Hi, Mary, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. How are you?" You have others that begin with, "Hi, Mary, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and the reason for my call is..." You have others that begin with an immediate pitch, "Hi, Mary, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we're a full service, blah, 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 blah." Now, the problem when you start off exactly like everyone else is that you're telegraphing your punches. In other words, they see it coming, and immediately they go into a defensive stance, and I would actually argue that they get very good at shutting down that call quickly because it screams sales call. In this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, I'm going to teach you a tactic that they never see coming. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our 10 ways to open a cold call with impact and 5 that absolutely suck webinar. It's going to be coming up this Thursday, September 2nd. We're going to be doing this from 11:30 a.m. until 12:45 p.m. EST. If you'd like to be a part of this, if you'd like to learn more, I'm going to tell you right now would be a good time to pause this podcast and go to yoursalesplaybook.com/coldcall21 and do it quickly because registration is about to end. I'll talk about it more at the end of the podcast. So I really believe that we have several challenges, if you really want to be honest, when we're cold calling, when we're prospecting, lukewarm calling, whatever the hell you want to call it. And our number one challenge, I think, is not sounding like everyone else trying to get their attention. And the problem is we really don't think a lot about what we're saying, how we're saying it, how we're approaching the potential client. And we end up by sounding like everyone else. And when we sound like everyone else, there's really, you know what I'm saying? It just kind of blends in all the messaging. It just kind of, there's nothing about it that makes an impact. But the other thing too, is that when you're starting your cold call, the exact same ways that, or the exact same way that other people are doing it, whether that's, you know, you're starting off the call, introducing yourself, "How are you?" Or you're saying, you're starting off introducing yourself, "The reason for my call is," you're starting off introducing yourself, going into an immediate pitch. The thing is that it's now it becomes a really bad stimulus response situation. They associate those openers, those opening statements of a call with a sales pitch, which means their defenses go up. And that's when you start hearing, and I refer to it as kind of an auto-eject, something just automatically that they say to get you the hell off of their phone. That's usually where a cold call begins to crash and burn. They've identified it as a sales pitch. They realize that they're busy. They're making a snap decision within the first, I would say, at most 8 seconds. Most people don't have the time to hear you out. So what I always teach is that, all right, that we can't possibly convince someone in the first 8 seconds to grant us an appointment, right? That would be incredible if we could, by the way. But what we can do is convince them in the first 8 seconds to give us another 8 seconds. And then after that, we're going to convince them for another 8 more. And as long as it takes, hopefully, to move them to a point where they want to grant us that appointment. So we really don't want to sound like everyone else out there, but I have a tactic that I use that immediately changes the whole dynamic of the call. And it throws them off balance because they're really, they're not used to hearing it. And it's not being sleazy or manipulative. I don't want you to think about that at all. Like, what I'm about to teach you is something that's, yeah, really sleazy. I'm not into that. So I don't want you to worry about that. So there are three simple steps to this. And I call it the promise cold call. Now, in order to do this, you're also going to have to do an email prior to the call. And that actually isn't a bad thing. The way I look at email in many cases, even snail mail too, it's kind of like going into a battle and having your air support and just having something where you're supported in a way that actually sets up the next attempt for contact. And that's why I really, you know, I'm a huge fan of communication mapping. And that's a process that I teach. And that's, and all the sales trainers have fancy names for things that are actually quite simple. And what communication mapping is when we think out our communication with a potential client. I like to think in threes. Now, if we were a marketing department, they're thinking out their communication in terms of things that they're putting out on social media and campaigns and things like that. In some cases, they're thinking out 6 months into the future. I know several that think out into the future 12 to 18 months. Now, we're not marketers in that type of context, but we are marketers in a way. That is part of what we should be doing and what we have to get better at. So what I always recommend as far as the communication mapping process is that we think in threes. We think about, okay, you know, for example, we're approaching a potential client. We've never communicated with them before. And we think about, okay, what is that first attempt going to look like? And in terms of the message, in terms of the method, and what I mean by that, and in the past I called method, I also refer to it as the vehicle. In other words, how does that message arrive? Is it arriving through a cold call? Is it arriving through email? Is it arriving through LinkedIn or something creative or whatever? And you kind of think out 2 to 3 moves in advance. So in this particular case, I've got 3 moves for you. And the very first thing that you're going to do here is you need to do a little bit of basic research. And if you've been listening to me lately, and if you've even been listening to me for a while, one of the things I always talk about when we do our research, we want to look for trigger events. Remember, a trigger event is something that's going on in the prospect's world that could lead to a higher probability of them needing our solution. So when we're researching, we're not just researching, right? We're not just, all right, let me do a Google search and see what I find. We're researching more intentionally. We're on the hunt for something. And what ideally we're looking for here is a trigger event. Again, something that's going on in their world that could lead to a higher probability of them needing our solution. Now, last week I talked about this. I also made an offer to everyone that if anyone would like my list that I usually give out to my coaching clients and people in the webinars and all, but I'm happy to offer you a freebie, no strings attached. If you'd like my list with over 30 trigger events, I want you to shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Now, a quick apology to those of you who sent me that request last week. But, and this is probably idiotic that now I'm offering it again, but I didn't even get to all the ones from last week. But I think it was like 300 people asked me for it. And what happened was last week, I just had a ton of stuff that I was doing. And I also took a couple of days off to make it worse. And, and I have a bit of an announcement I have to make. I didn't tell you why I took the day off. I have to digress. I'm sorry. I never do this. I always digress on the podcast, but I never digress for something personally. But I had a very important week this week. And now I'm allowed to tell you guys. I couldn't say anything before. But this week, my son Nick got engaged. So now, not only am I happy, but I'm feeling incredibly old. So that kind of took me off it. But anyway, if you want that freebie of 30 different types of trigger events you should be looking for, shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. So step number one, you're going to find a trigger event. A couple of examples of trigger events for you, and it's going to vary by industry, but there's a lot of different things you should be looking for. I mean, you could be looking for earnings, both good and bad. You could be looking for a company that's hiring, launching a new product. My friends in the printing industry, when you see somebody who just redid their website, well, that's a trigger event because the rest of their collateral should match that, right? It could be something like that. It could be online reviews of a company. Again, both good and it could be bad. You could have something, a huge trigger event is when you have somebody who's new in a position and they're a decision maker. Right? I mean, that's a great time to approach them. So things like that, but I have a list of over 30. So step number one, research and find a trigger event. Now what you're going to do on step number two is you're going to shoot them an email. And in the email, you're going to reference the trigger event. And what I recommend that you do in an email, I also recommend that you do this when you cold call. The mistake that a lot of people make in their sales messaging is they lead with something about their company. So that would be that example. If I were to call you up and I would say, hey, Chris, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we're a full service this, or, you know, and I'm an executive sales coach and I'm leading with something about me. And, you know, talking about yourself or about your solution actually can be a good thing, but it's a time and place thing. And if you want to sound like everyone else, well, then lead with that. But I recommend that you don't lead with that. I recommend that you lead with the trigger that you found, that trigger event. Because see, that is leading with something of value and something that is actually relevant, something that's on their brain a lot more than, I don't know, thinking about you, and they don't even know you. So what you're going to do in the email is you're going to start off with a really cool phrase. And this is a phrase I've taught you to use also on your cold calls, but it works brilliantly in an email. And what you're going to do is you're going to lead off with, you're going to obviously greet them. So again, it could be, hey, Chris, I noticed that, right? There's the phrase. It's going to be a fill in the blank thing. I noticed that. And then you're going to tell them the thing that you noticed, right? That trigger event, provided that it's really relevant and it's something that you can actually, you know, add some value to. Like, for example, you know, I have many trigger events that I look for in my prospecting efforts. And one that I always talk about here is when a company is hiring sales reps, well, guess what? They really need to train those sales reps. So I can lead off with that. I noticed that you're hiring a bunch of sales reps in the Northeast because it's relevant, right? I can lead off with that. But the very next thing I'm going to do in that email is I'm going to, and this is an important thing that I want you to jot down, I'm going to hint at the fact that I might be able to help them. See, truth be told, I most probably can help them. Right, with very little exception, unless they're like real assholes in their culture there at the company and they're going to undo something that I'm doing. Well, I really can't help that, and I won't help that. I'm not going to work with a company like that. But for the most part, again, I don't want to assume anything. I'm looking for a very, like, a softer approach, and that's why I'm saying I hint at the fact that I might be able to help them. So in the email, I start off with, I notice that I mention the trigger event. Next thing that I do in that email is I say something along the lines of, and let me tell you what the tactic is we're going to use next, and we've talked about it here too. It's called the reverse call to action. The reverse call to action. A typical call to action begins with, or really just executes as, you know, reply to this email, or, you know, click here. But and it's asking them to do something because you're calling them really to calling upon them to take action. When we reverse that, what we're doing is we're basically saying to them, don't do anything, but I'm actually going to be calling you. So what you're going to do is first now you're going to and you're going to make them hungry. So now you hint at the fact you might be able to help them. And you say something in the email, something along the lines of, this is not going to be exactly how it's going to be worded. I'm giving you the gist of it so that you can write it in your own voice. But the gist of the next part of the message is that I have a few ideas that might be able to help you. Now, let's go back again. Let's put this into the context of my sales training. Now, I did some research, and I noticed that you're hiring sales reps. So I begin the email with, you know, hi, Bob. I noticed that, and then I reference the fact that Bob has been hiring sales reps. And there's nothing creepy about it. I mean, hell, you know, I didn't go and say, hey, I noticed that, you know, you were hanging your underdraws out on the line outside, and, you know, I didn't think you were a tidy-whitey type of dude. But you were like a mesh or something like that. I don't know, thong, like a man thong. I don't know. See, that's creepy. But referencing something that's pretty much public information, there's nothing creepy about that. The next part of it, I say, you know, I actually have a few ideas that might be able to help. Now, you ready for the next part? This is key, folks. You're going to use the following phrase. And again, it'll be kind of a fill-in-the-blank phrase. I promise, remember that phrase right there. I promise, because we're going to talk about it in a second. I promise to give you a call on whatever the date is, September 8th at 9:45 a.m. with a few ideas to help. So let me say this again. I promise to give you a call on, and you state the date, at, you state the time. The date and the time are critical because it's all part of the tactic. It's all part of the reverse call to action tactic. But I also want to explain something to you. Never underestimate the power of words and the emotional impact they can have. The word promise is a real heavy word. And I'm dead serious about that. It can be an emotional trigger. And in a way that people aren't even aware of it. Our whole life, we've been around. And I want you to think about it. This goes back even to like when we were youngins. We were little 2-3-year-old versions of ourselves. Being a pain in mom and dad's ass around the house. Trying to sell shit at 2-3 years old. And remember that, like with a kid especially. If like a promise was made, well, you promised, right? Or I promise I won't do that, right? It's a heavy-duty word. But also, promises are important in the sales cycle. Because if you can demonstrate that you're a person who's a quote-unquote man, or even a woman of their word, right? A man, the phrase, you know, the old saying is, be a man of your word. But I want to be inclusive here. So, you know, a man or woman of your word. Man, that's some powerful shit right there. So, there's another part of the phrase now that we're going to use in step number 3. Step number 1, find a trigger event with your research. Step number 2, you're going to email them. You're going to reference the trigger event by beginning with, I noticed that. Then you're going to mention the trigger event. Then you're going to hint that you might be able to help. Might have a few ideas that can help. I promise to give you a call on whatever the date is, at whatever the time that you're going to be calling, with a few ideas to help. Step number 3, you're going to call on the day and time that you promised. And this is where you change everything. This is where the cold call takes on a whole different trajectory, because you're going to begin with, you're going to, you know, mention, greet the person that you're calling. Hi, Chris, it's Paul Castain. Make sure you guys don't say it's Paul Castain if your name isn't Paul Castain. I'm the only one that's allowed to say that because I am, in fact, Paul Castain. So, hi, Chris, it's Paul Castain. I'm calling you, ready for this, folks, like I promised I would. Let me say that again. Hey, Chris, it's Paul Castain. I'm calling you like I promised I would. You must use that phrase. You could do variations of it, calling you as promised or whatever. I happen to like, on a cold call, saying something like, I'm calling you like I promised I would. Now, let me explain a few things for you. Now we're getting into some more psychology and some more tactics that are very helpful to you in sales. If they're used to getting calls that begin with, hi, you know, Chris, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. How are you? Hi, Chris, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. The reason for my call is, and I can go on and on and on like I did in the very beginning of the podcast. If they're used to that, and instead of doing those things that everybody and their mother, I mean, seriously, I've heard people's mothers say this shit. It happens. Somebody's mom said it the other day, if you think I'm full of shit. I taped her. But anyway, and now you come along and you greet them and you say that you're calling like you promised you would. Changes everything. Now, I'm not saying it's going to instantly make the call a success. If I could say that, I wouldn't be effing around right now in a podcast. I'd be pretty damn retired and pretty damn rich, I think, because that would be awesome if we could do it. But it changes everything. It begins the call differently. And really what's happening here is that you're utilizing a pattern interrupt. You're going off script because you're not starting with the how are you. You're not starting with the reason for my call is. And by the way, I am not shitting on those approaches. I think they're fantastic approaches. I've used them. But I'm also here to tell you that everybody uses them. And especially even more so that I hear some really, you know, prominent sales trainers that really know their shit are teaching it, and nothing wrong with it. I just think that if you want to change it up a little bit, you should offer a pattern interrupt. And there's a lot of different ways you can offer a pattern interrupt. This is one of them. So it kind of stuns them in a way at the beginning of the call because you went off script. You broke the typical pattern of, hi, how are you? The reason for my call is, or, you know, immediately throwing up on them. And we're a full service, blah, 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 blah. Now you're calling them saying you promised, you know, you're calling as like you promised you would. Now, right away, if they're like other busy decision makers, it should sound a little familiar, but they're like, wow, why does it sound familiar? And instead of going in there into their whole auto eject to get you the hell off the phone, now you've stunned them a little bit and you might be able to buy yourself at least the first 8 seconds. Also, you're leading with value because the very next thing that you're doing after the promised I would is that you're going to put it into a context and you're going to talk about the trigger event, how you have some ideas, so on and so forth. But the other thing that this does is when you use the phrase, and I mentioned it before, by the way, like I promised I would, I think at a very subconscious level, they understand that, wow, okay, this guy Paul made a promise. He keeps his promise. And I think that scores points with people. I don't think that they're sitting there saying, wow, this guy obviously keeps his promises. I'm going to buy a shit ton of sales training from him. I don't think it works that way. But I just think that it's making little, tiny, little deposits into that bank account that, you know, throughout the sales cycle, that interest is going to, you know, compound. So I think that's important. But the other thing, too, is that it changes the whole trajectory of the call and the whole vibe of the call, and it by providing a helpful educational tone versus salesy. And last but not least, I think it shifts the power of the call, because when we do it the other way and we do it all the other ways that we've been taught and the way that we've been just doing it forever, we're really putting the decision maker up on a pedestal. And now they're deciding our fate. And when we lead with something valuable like this, where we have a few ideas to help, we ascend to the peer level. And that's what we want. We want a collaborative sale. I don't want a sale that I'm coming across like I'm better than you. I'm certainly not in the mood to be a part of a sales cycle where you think that you're better than me and you're the high and mighty customer. I don't do that shit. I mean, that's, you know, the customer is right and all that stuff. I just don't do it. I'm looking for peer level relationships because they work better, because there's no pretense, because now we can roll up our sleeves and we can work as equals and we can kick ass together instead of dancing around egos and all that other nonsense. So there you have it, folks. It's actually a very simple but a very powerful process. Here are the three steps, again, to the promise cold call tactic. Number one, you're going to research. What are you going to be looking for when you're researching? Remember, you always need to have a purpose. And in this context, we're looking for a trigger event. What's a trigger event? Something going on in their world that could lead to a higher probability of them needing your solution. Once we find that trigger event, we're going to email them. We're going to reference the trigger event. We want to lead with the phrase, "I noticed that." Now, there's another reason why you're going to lead with "I noticed that." Because when you lead an email that way, it shows up in the preview text. The preview text, usually, and it can vary according to whatever email client they use, email solution, but you know, it could be up to 140 characters that show up. It could be as little as, you know, 70, 75 characters or whatever. But if you notice in your inbox, if you want to see what the preview text is, if you don't know, go in your inbox and you'll notice that without opening the email, underneath the subject line, it'll show you the first whatever amount of characters of the email to give you a little preview and a flavor of what it's all about. Now, I want to let you know, if you start that email off with something really salesy, which most people do, most people aren't even going to bother to open it. The average person is sending and receiving, I think it's 121 emails each and every day. Therefore, they've gotten very good at looking at the preview text and saying, yeah, the hell with this, and ditching it. So we want to get this open. We always want to lead any sales communication with being relevant and being valuable. And you're going to use that phrase, "I noticed that." Then what you're going to do is you're going to hint at the fact you might be able to help, and you're going to tell them, "I have a few ideas that might be able to help you." Then you're going to do the promise, and you're going to say something along the lines of, "I promise to give you a call on September 8th at 9:45 a.m. with a few thoughts that can help." Step number three, you're going to call on the day and time that you promised. You're going to use the opening statement, something like this. "Hi, Chris, it's Paul Castain. I'm calling you like I promised I would." And there you have it, folks. A completely useless tip that I just gave you. Why is it useless? Well, it's useless until you actually decide to do something about it. Before you go, I just want to remind you that if you want access to the premium side of this tip, that was my throwaway. That was my freebie that I have to offer you. We're going to actually be cannonballing into this whole pool of opening statements because I believe it makes or breaks the cold call. How we start off, and I have several. I have 10 different cold call openers that you can use. And the reason why you need 10, just so you know, at least 10, is because then you choose your opening. And it's not going to be just one lame opening. You have different ones because there's different times that you're going to be calling them. And if you're starting off with the same cold call opener to the same person each and every time, it's this whole concept again of you're telegraphing your punches. They see it coming. They get into the stimulus response situation. Okay, here Paul goes again with his sales pitch. Let me shut him down. Yeah, thanks anyway, Paul. I'm all set on sales training, right? You guys get equivalent of that too. Don't pretend like you don't, because we all do. So we've kind of triggered that response. So during this webinar, we're going to be talking about 10 cold call openers that get a decision maker's attention, but without being cheesy or sleazy or deceptive. I think that's so important. We're also going to talk about how to master the art of that pattern interrupt, because there's several ways that you can use a pattern interrupt, and I want you to know what they are so that you can start using them. We're going to talk about, and this next one I really want you to pay attention to. We're going to talk about how to dramatically reduce the probability of getting a phone objection. So many of the sales courses that are out there, so many of the sales trainers, so many of all the free advice, so much of it, of that free advice, centers around how to respond to an objection. That's an important discussion to have, but I want to have the discussion that really no one is having, and it's how do we avoid getting one in the first place? How do we avoid getting a phone objection? There are things that you can say and do right from the word hello that will dramatically reduce the probability of someone slamming you with one of those knee-jerk type of objections. And then last but not least, I'm going to make you aware of five phrases that you have to avoid at all costs. Now, this webinar is going to be coming up this Thursday, September 2nd. If you can't join us live, you absolutely should purchase the webinar anyway, because I always send out the webinar replay. I always make myself available. So, yeah, I'm not going to be there live to answer your questions, but who cares? Really, what you should be concerned about is, okay, well, what if I have a question now afterwards? You could absolutely email me, and you'll notice several times throughout the webinar, I make that known that, hey, I'm actually going to be offended if you don't reach out to me. I'm there to help you. And then you'll also have access to 10 templates that I'm going to send everyone. And whenever I send out templates, I always send them out as a Word doc, because I don't want you, I mean, if you want to follow my stuff word for word, you certainly can, but I've written them in my voice, and you have to rewrite them in your voice. To me, otherwise it's like fat guy in a little coat, right? It fits me okay, but might not fit you. So if you'd like to learn more, don't procrastinate. Again, registration is about to end. I think this would be a great investment in yourself. It's only $99. I mean, how many ideas would you have to have work for you? You know, how many sales would you have to make in order to get that $99 back? Visit yoursalesplaybook.com/coldcall21. All lowercase letters, all one word, by the way. yoursalesplaybook.com/coldcall21. With that, I'm Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get 'em.